Last week we considered what it means to pray in truth, and I gave you a few rules for acceptable prayer. Well, we might call this another rule. We are to pray in the name of Jesus. Sermon title today, Praying in Jesus' Name. It would be a real pity, however, to think of this as a mere rule. Because, friends, praying in the name of Jesus is really a matter of our resting in God's grace. Resting in what God freely gives us in Christ Jesus, our Savior. With those things in mind, we turn now to the living and holy Word of God in John 16. Let's begin reading here at verse 16, where our Lord Jesus teaches these things. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? And because I am going to the Father?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." The word of God from John 16 this morning. Beloved congregation of Christ Jesus and friends, our prayers to God should often include praise for his greatness, thanksgiving for all of his goodness shown to us. But prayers arise so much of the time out of the trouble and misery of life in this fallen world. Last time we were in Romans 8, where Paul explains to us how our prayers are burdened with all of this groaning through the mess of decay and futility in this fallen world. Jesus echoes that point here at the end of John 16. Reminding us that, yes, indeed, he does give us real peace, But in the world, he says, you will have tribulation. And friends, that means that most of the time, our prayers are going to be supplication heavy. There should be thanks and praise in all of our prayers, or at least in most of them to one degree or another. But we are typically going to bring lots of requests, lots of supplications to our God in prayer. Because we suffer, because we are so weak and have so many needs. If you have any familiarity with the Psalter, which I know most of you do, you know that the Psalms are indeed filled with praise and thanksgiving, but they are very manifestly supplication heavy, aren't they? More laments than anything else in the Psalter, more cries for God to intervene and help, to deliver, to save. So it is with the Lord's Prayer. Basically, a summary of the sorts of supplications that we bring to God on account of all of our neediness. Well, dear saints, our prayers arise out of our need and misery, and we can address our prayers to an almighty God who, of course, can supply all that we need. The question is, how may we know that this almighty and holy God will listen to our prayers? That he will answer us, especially when we are such undeserving sinners. Well, our Lord gives us the answer to that question right here in John 16. He tells us that we can be sure God will answer our prayers when we pray in Jesus' name. Verse 23, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Question 117 of the Heidelberg Catechism asks us what kind of prayer God is pleased to listen to and to answer, really, is implied there as well. And in the answer to 117, the Heidelberg Catechism tells us that God is pleased to listen to those prayers only if they are addressed to him. The kind of prayer that he listens to is the prayer that is addressed to the one true God who reveals himself in his word. And he hears us only if we pray with a true heart. You remember that from 117? Have to pray to the true God. There's the objective part. We considered the objective part as well as the subjective last week. Well, there's the objective part, praying to the true God. The subjective part, our heart, needs to be a true heart. And 117 tells us that we must go to God recognizing our need and misery so that we would be humble before him, knowing that we deserve nothing from him. Well, then finally, 117 tells us there in the three-part answer that God is pleased to hear and answer our prayers only when we come with a confidence that he will hear us for the sake of Christ Jesus alone. And friends, that is why we are to pray in Jesus' name. We considered these elements of true and acceptable prayer last Lord's Day. We are today going to take that third point a little bit further, because praying in the name of Jesus is especially what gives us confidence before God. Confidence to approach God, the majestic and holy King of the universe. Confidence that he will indeed answer our prayers. The name of Jesus gives us that confidence because it is his righteous person and his redemptive work that compel God the Father to answer our prayers. In a manner of speaking, that's what we want to consider here first of all. So, friends, my first point this morning, we pray in Jesus' name because it is his person and work that compel God the Father to answer our prayers. Now, many Christians consider this to be simply another rule for prayer, right? The Lord commanded us to pray in his name, therefore we must pray in Jesus' name. It's just as simple as that. But where that sort of mentality is at work, Christians will typically conclude their prayers in Jesus' name without any thought whatsoever of the meaning of that phrase. It just becomes this automatic formula that makes our prayers proper, stamps them as Orthodox Christian prayers, distinguished from, say, Muslim prayers or Jewish prayers. We pray in Jesus' name because we're praying to the God who reveals himself ultimately through Christ Jesus, his Son. Well, the phrase may serve that purpose, but this is not really what our Lord Jesus meant by teaching us to pray in his name. In fact, our Lord did not intend for us to use this phrase in all of our prayers as a formula that must conclude or stamp everything that we've said to God. That's not what he meant at all. Christians have a custom of doing that sort of thing, and it's not inherently wrong to do. I'm not making any such point. But friends, you should know that not a single prayer in the New Testament ends in Jesus' name. The important thing is not our using this phrase in our prayers, but rather our placing faith in Jesus, having confidence throughout the whole of our prayer, beginning to end, that the Father is concerned to hear us pray. Even compelled to answer us because of the person and work of Christ, his Son, and because of his grace and unconditional love set upon us in Christ Jesus before all creation. So, brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is we can be done thinking that this is some rule for proper prayer, some method for getting prayers answered. Just say in Jesus' name. No. Praying in the name of our Lord Jesus is really to be our whole mode of praying. As we undeserving sinners call on God with a confidence that is found only in his grace and love for us in Christ. Here in John's Gospel, we read that teaching Jesus gave to his disciples in the upper room there in Jerusalem, just hours before he was arrested and led to the cross. He was getting them ready for his departure. "A little while, and you will see me no longer." Jesus was going to be taken from them. He was going to be put to death on the cross. He was going to be buried. But then he says, "Again a little while, and you will see me." God would raise his obedient and righteous Son Jesus from the dead, and the risen Lord would make numerous appearances to his disciples. Their deep sorrow would turn into great joy, and no one would be able to take that joy from them, because it would be the joy of knowing that the crucified and risen Jesus had actually obtained for his people everlasting salvation. Everlasting peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus is also getting his disciples ready for his other departure. Not just that time of his death and burial. He was going back to the Father. The disciples were sad to hear that he was soon to leave them, but Jesus explains that he was leaving for their good. You may recall earlier in John 16, at verse 6, he says, "Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. It's to your good that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you." Dear friends, one of the great benefits of our Lord's ascension into heaven is that he was able to send the Holy Spirit from the Father to his church. And that, of course, is what Jesus is talking about there. But remember the other great benefit of his ascension is that our Lord Jesus now appears before God the Father in glory. And he lives there as our righteous advocate. The eternal Son of God, who became man, always remains our man before God the Father, the only mediator We read in 1 Timothy 2, the only mediator between God and man is that man, Jesus Christ. He lives there as our mediator, a great benefit we receive through his ascension, that he's always interceding for us before the Father. The very one who redeemed us, paying the debt of our sins with his precious blood, is now and always making intercession for us before God, covering us sinners with his perfect holiness and righteousness, so that we are acceptable before God. In all of our service, in all of our worship, in all of our prayers, we are acceptable to God the Father and have prayers that he does indeed hear and which he will indeed answer only because of Christ. What he did in his life and death and what he now does as the risen Savior who has ascended to glory to be our mediator and high priest. So our Lord is teaching here that after his death, resurrection, ascension, his disciples would experience something new in their prayers. The ability to pray in Jesus' name and the assurance that God would be compelled to answer for the sake of his Son. Verse 23, again, in that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Notice the until now there in verse 24. Before Jesus came to earth, God's people prayed, of course, and they were heard and answered by God. But Israelites could not have the confidence that we have before God. They could not realize the intimacy that we have with God, because Jesus had not yet come. And because Jesus had not yet redeemed his people through his blood and righteousness. And because Jesus had not yet sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within his people. So our Lord is making this profound point. Brothers and sisters, do not miss it. By his doing and dying, he redeemed his sinful people once and for all, so that we would be able to pray to God with this amazing intimacy, confident through faith in Christ that God is our Father, receiving us into his throne room, not just as guests, much less as strangers or enemies, but receiving us as his redeemed, blood-bought, holy and beloved children in Christ. So that he is compelled to answer our prayers for the sake of Christ Jesus alone and his love given us in Christ from all eternity. We may pray to Jesus, and indeed he does pray for us. He continually intercedes for us, as we read in Hebrews 7. But his point here is that we do not need to ask him, Lord Jesus, would you go to the Father to pray for us? Because we're unable to go directly to God ourselves. See, the Lord's saying that's not the case at all. You can be sure that you are loved by God if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You can be sure that your prayers are met with the loving attention of your Heavenly Father. Jesus elaborates in verse 26. Would you go down to verse 26 and notice? He makes the same point, but he elaborates there. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. See, as if you couldn't go to him. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. It's not that we caused God to love us when we started loving his Son and believing on his Son. The Lord's point here, friends, is very simply that our trusting in him, Jesus Christ, and our loving him is evidence that God first loved us and sent Christ to redeem us and actually to make us children of God. Children whose prayers will most definitely be heard and answered by our loving Heavenly Father. Brothers and sisters, do you pray with a sense of intimacy with God? Or are your prayers wooden, mechanical, cold, impersonal? Lots of Christians call God their Father when they pray, and they conclude their prayers, every one of them, in Jesus' name. But they do not experience any real intimacy with God because they view him as this distant king of the universe who must have a very hard time giving his attention to puny mortals. In his book called Prayer, Tim Keller mentions the teaching of Aristotle, that philosopher from ancient Greece. Aristotle said that in religion, human beings might honor and worship the gods. We might even appease the gods. But Aristotle says, there's no hope for any man to have anything like friendship with a god. For the gods are so great, and we human beings are so very small. He makes a true point. There is a great distance between the Creator God and us, his creatures. And we sinners have only widened the gulf by our rebellion against the great King of the universe. But see, God has single-handedly closed the gap. He has eliminated that gulf once and for all between himself and his people. The great chasm between the holy Creator and us sinful mortals has been bridged, perfectly bridged, because God sent his own Son to become man and to reconcile us to God by his obedient life and his sacrificial death. And by that work alone. If your prayers are cold and mechanical, you need to pray in Jesus' name. And what I mean is that in all your praying, whether you use the phrase or not, you ought to exercise faith in Christ, resting in the person and work of that God-man whose death once and for all reconciled you to God, realizing that he now lives to intercede for you as your sympathetic priest, most compassionate elder brother before God the Father. Praying in Jesus' name is not a method, as I said before, but the mode of praying through faith in Jesus Christ, in whom we receive the status of sonship. Friends, so much of what I'm saying today has to do with God's eternal love for us in his Son. We grab hold of his attention, as it were, by saying in Jesus' name. We're not forcing him by some magic formula to do something by simply uttering those words. But we do, as his beloved children in Christ, grab hold of his attention. The flip side of it is, we need to understand our new status before him. We're sons and daughters in Jesus Christ. Pray in this mode, and you will not approach God as a stranger, much less as his enemy, but as his beloved child. And you will have no concern that you need to gain God's attention or earn any of his help by anything you ever do. For when we come in Jesus' name, we come dressed in his perfect righteousness, confident that in spite of all our sin, the Father hears our prayers and is compelled to answer us for the sake of his Son, through whom he unconditionally loves us. Does this mean that God will give us whatever we ask in our praying? It does sound like it. Jesus says there in verse 23, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." You know, there have been lots of people in the church who've made their way right out of the church because they prayed for something and discovered that God did not answer. They prayed for mom to live, make it through this terrible calamity. And God didn't let her live. She died. They just chucked their Christian faith, throw it in the trash, as it were. Our Pentecostal friends in the Word of Faith movement try to get God off the hook by saying that unanswered prayer is due to the fact that the person praying did not have enough faith. Didn't have enough faith that God could or would do what was asked in prayer. They'd argue that God really will grant us absolutely anything we ask, with one qualification, as long as we have enough faith. Dear saints, this is all a bunch of nonsense. God is not a genie who exists to grant our wishes, and he is not the kind of God who will answer our prayers only if we have enough faith in him, like we reach a certain level of adequate faith. No, if we have true faith, he will answer our prayers. But he will do so in accordance with his loving purpose for us in Christ. And friends, this too is how we must understand praying in the name of Jesus. It's my second and only other point this morning. We pray in Jesus' name so that we will always be mindful to pray in accordance with his truth. I'll say it again. We pray in Jesus' name so that we will always be mindful to pray in accordance with his truth. To pray in his name is a rather loaded idea, really. It's to pray through faith in Jesus Christ and to rest in his merits alone, not in our own righteousness, not in our obedience at all. It's also to pray in such a way that we are adhering, at some basic level at least, to his truth. Today I'm giving you two ways to understand this phrase, praying in Jesus' name, but we could list many more, because the name of Christ is a profound thing. And our connection to that name has all kinds of different implications. Well, we're not going to consider all of them, but here's the other one that I want us to think about in conclusion. Our need to pray in Jesus' name, again, not saying the word so much as making sure we're praying in accordance with his truth, beginning to end of our prayers. The Lord Jesus does not teach us that God will give us absolutely anything we ask in prayer. And that's actually a very good thing, because in a state of spiritual immaturity, all of us are in that state at one point or another, we might pray for so many things that would bring about our ruin. You've heard the saying, be careful for what you ask for. Well, beautiful thing is, God mercifully spares us the great trouble of getting everything we ask for. He says no to a great many things that his foolish children request of him. We can be very thankful for that. God will not give us that for which we pray. Listen, brothers and sisters, he will not give you what you ask him to give you unless it is in accordance with his will. We often use that phrase in our prayers as well. Your will be done. And that's great to mean whatever you plan, O God, in the ineffable mystery of your eternal counsel, which is hidden from us, help us to submit to it. That's important to pray with that kind of submission to the will of God. But I want you to understand, we're not just praying that we'd submit to his hidden will. Praying in Jesus' name means, Lord, we want to submit to your revealed will. Because as a matter of fact, we know what your will is for us in Jesus Christ. And if we don't, we only need to go to the scriptures. God will answer our prayers, indeed all of them, when our requests do accord with his will for us in Jesus. They are in accordance with his loving purpose for us in Christ his Son. And so our Lord makes a qualification here in this teaching. He says that your Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. In other words, you can expect God the Father to give you whatever you ask as long as it is in keeping with the truth of Christ. John 14:6, you all know the verse. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is only through faith in that Savior Jesus that we sinners can be right with God, can have everlasting life with God through the gift of forgiveness and righteousness that is ours in His Son, through faith alone. But Jesus is also the truth of God, the fullest revelation of God. Earlier in John 16, we find that all the truth of God in Christ was going to be given to the apostles. And of course, Jesus says that's going to happen through the gift of the Holy Spirit. You may notice there briefly, verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine, therefore I said that He will take what is Mine, the Holy Spirit will, and He will declare it to you. Jesus had so much more truth to give His apostles. But see, He did give it to them through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's done it. All that truth of God in Christ has been given to us. It's right here in the New Testament. Which is why the Apostle Paul says, you read it earlier, in Ephesians 2:20, that this new living temple of God, to which we belong as the Church of Christ, it is a temple built on Jesus, the cornerstone, and built on the foundation of His apostles and prophets. Those men to whom God gave all His truth in Christ through the Holy Spirit so that they would give it to the church. The truth of Christ that we have here in the Word of Christ for our salvation, for our sanctification, and yes, friends, my point in conclusion, for our prayers as well. We must learn to pray more and more according to the truth of Christ, revealed in Holy Scripture, and when we do, listen, we will see God answer our prayers more and more. That's the guarantee that our Lord Jesus gives us here. Did you notice it in verse 24? Christ says He wants us to pray and to see God answer our prayers so that our joy may be full. He doesn't just want us to pray. He wants us to pray and get answers so that we'll have more joy. The Christian's joy cannot ever be lost. Jesus made that point earlier. But our joy can grow deeper as we see God the Father answering our prayers. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. If we are to grow in our Christian joy, we need to see God answering prayer. And friends, we will see Him do so more and more as we learn to pray in Jesus' name. Not using the magical formula, which forces God to answer prayers, not at all, but praying in a way that accords with His truth, His holy and loving will for us in Christ. Truth that imparts to us a whole new set of questions than you initially had. A whole new set of priorities that are in keeping with the gospel of His grace. God shows us in His Word how we should pray, beloved. But the Word of Christ gradually reorders what we think is important. Opens our eyes to bigger problems than we thought we had. Opens our eyes to bigger blessings than we ever imagined. Brothers and sisters, read the Bible, and by the renewing work of the Holy Spirit, you will find that God's grace and truth in Christ give you new desires, so that you're praying about different things. Instead of seeking the advance of your kingdom, you will seek the advance of His kingdom, and you will see that kingdom come. Instead of your mind always tending to so many material things, you'll be much more focused on spiritual things, and you will receive them. Instead of looking for God to give you peace in this world, You will pray in the joy and comfort of that peace that is already ours in Christ Jesus, and it will prepare us to endure more tribulation. This too is what it means to pray in Jesus' name, to pray in keeping with his gospel grace. Listen to the end of our passage, John 16:33. The Lord Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Let us learn to pray in Jesus' name, beloved, to pray more and more with the mind of Christ, our Savior. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.